boy.
Recording in progress.
Mr. Pearsall, how you doing there, sir? Welcome to the, the 22nd edition of the Watkins Award Show. How you doing today, Mr. Pearsall?
Absolutely outstanding. Superb.
Well, here we are on Monday, June the 28th. Man, how time fly in the 22nd edition. You're here with T. Tate and J. Everett Pearsall. Man, we having a ball, and we're going to have an awesome day today because I'm getting straight to the, you know, I always say I'm getting straight to the juggler. Well, look here. We got Jelani Jenkins today, and you know that I gotta calm down because last week, man, I was on cloud nine and just forgot. I mean, the time was flying so, man, and I was having so much fun. So I promise you, I'm not gonna have as much fun as I had last week because you know what happened last week. So I'm gonna keep that in order. But the other thing, Mr. Pearsall, is the fact that this being the 22nd edition of the Watkins Award Show, and we got one heck of a guest today. That's one of the things I've realized also. Man, you know, some of these guests have such an extraordinary background. Man, it's no way to introduce them in a few seconds. I mean, I like to really give the audience an opportunity to know exactly who they are because of the Watkins Award. Now, this is the show, the Watkins Award. And again, I'm T. Tate, and you also have my sidekick, J. Everett Pearsall. And before I get into anything, like I always do, I got to do a disclaimer because this is one of those days. I got to do a disclaimer, and that is the views and opinion of the Watkins Award Show, the views and opinion of J. Everett Pearsall and I, because I don't want to get BBS Radio in any trouble. I don't want to get any of the sponsors in trouble, anybody that's running commercials. I don't want nobody else in trouble. J. Everett Pearsall and I will take the heat. I mean, there's no doubt that our back is against the wall, and we will take the heat. So, Mr. Pearsall, let me just start off here. Okay, the Watkins Award. The Watkins Award. Because a lot of people get on here, a lot of people have been listening to the show over and over and over, and they think they know. But can you give us, you know, just a brief understanding, what is the Watkins Award? What is it?
The Watkins Award is the top scholar athletes in the country as African-American high school male seniors. As I've said in some past shows, we nominate the absolute top football, basketball, and baseball players in the nation. And after their nomination, these individuals are asked to submit a package, which allows a committee of individuals to grade them for what they accomplished off the field, their scholastic aptitude, what they've done in the community in terms of community service hours, and they write a 1,000-word essay to give our committee an opportunity to find out a little bit about who they are. And through that package, which there are more things included as well, we now narrow it down to 5 individuals nationwide. And those individuals are, again, the top athletes in the country. And when they get to the point where we're honoring them, we find out that they've got 4.5, 4.3, 4.9, 4.0 grade point averages, and yet they're the top linebackers and running backs and quarterbacks and power forwards and pitchers in this entire nation. It's absolutely astounding when I look at the individuals that we've honored, and today is no different. When I look at those individuals and see what they've done in the past and then continue to be invigorated about what they're going to be doing moving forward. Tremendous retreat this weekend, just bringing some of those guys together. And just from Saturday even until today, I'm still in awe.
So, you know, let's talk about the National Alliance of African American Athletes and how the Watkins Award is tied to it. So what's the difference between the two?
Well, there's a vast difference. One is an organization and the other is an award. The organization is called the National Alliance of African American Athletes, established in 1989 as a 501c3 nonprofit organization by the IRS, with a mission to use the industry of sport and athletes to empower disenfranchised youth all over this nation, regardless of race. And so as an organization, although we've done a plethora of different events, the Watkins Award has become one of our flagship events, and we give out the Watkins Award, which we've done since 1992, 3 years into our existence. And since then, we've honored over 100 individuals for being the top scholar athletes through the Watkins Award. But we've been able to do our part in encouraging and empowering hundreds of thousands of youth all over the country through the efforts of our organization, the National Alliance of African American Athletes.
So tell me, you kind of touched on it, but tell me about this past weekend. What went on? What was the significance of this past weekend?
Great question. And so we started what's going to be an annual event this weekend, and we had a virtual event whereby we had a retreat where we asked the Watkins families and what we consider to be Watkins families, all of the guys that we've honored since 1992 until today and their parents, to come on board, jump online, and be edified by things that we thought to be hot topics. And all of those topics were determined by what we call the alumni board, which is 13 individuals that are among those who have been honored. And so we hit on topics like the NFT, where we're talking about an NIL, name, image, and likeness. You know the Supreme Court ruling, which is going to give college athletes the ability to make money off of their name, image, and likeness. And so we had about a 15 to 20 minute presentation on that. We talked about cryptocurrency. Jelani, who was our guest today, talked about some things as well that we'll get into a little bit later. And we had someone talk about incorporating your name. We also honored an individual, Jordan Moore, up at Duke University for being a high school kid out of Maryland who is a quarterback who fits the bill and was honored by the Watkins Award for being a top scholar athlete in this country this year in 2021. And so it was an exciting hour and 45 minutes. It was action packed. It was information packed. And we had a number of people all over the country who were able to join us virtually and were really, really, really uplifted by what we did.
Well, you know, I want to start off with something and thank you for that overview of what happened this past weekend, because I've heard through a number of people how they were floored by the information, but the presentation by the players themselves, that you had them very much engaged in that event. So I want to start off with something, because I'm from the D.C. area, and I knew there was, a place in D.C. called the Pigskin Club, and that's in D.C. And I mean, the Pigskin Club. What in the world is a Pigskin Club? It was founded in 1938 with the goal of improving relationships between persons interested in the game of football, that there may be given encouragement for good, clean sport, that there may be more perfect understanding among such persons, and that there may be mutual benefits and pleasures derived from such association. So this Pigskin Club was founded in 1938 for football players. Now, there have been a few baseball players to come through this organization, but it's for college and professional players, but mainly college players. They recognize high-end college players. And it was, like I say, founded in Washington, D.C. Matter of fact, the 12th Street branch of the YMCA. I remember that place very well. You know, I didn't know it had such history there. But in the years that that organization has been in place, I just want people to recognize the type of people that they have honored during this decorated time. Emerson Boozer. Now, you know, some of these people, the young players, won't remember, but Emerson Boozer, Jim Brown, Reggie Bush, Dick Buckus. And I picked up a couple of local names like William Neal, who went to Morgan State, Bobby Mitchell, who was the first African-American who played for the Washington Redskins, Jackie Robinson, as I mentioned, a baseball player, Roger Staubach. So I don't want nobody to think that this is just, you know, some award for African-Americans. This award is for anyone who fits the bill as a high-end athlete. Now, out of all those athletes that I named, and let me say they also recognize coaches, and they recognize coaches, you know, like Jake Gaither. A lot of people don't know about Jake Gaither because he was down Florida A&M, HBCU. And, of course, you had Eddie Robinson over at Grambling. But Woody Hayes, he was one of the ones that – so I want people to know there's a good balance. But with all that said, our next guest, Jelani James, is the only athlete that came through there in the year that he came through in 2009, in 71 years of that organization, to be recognized as not only the defensive player of the year, but the scholar athlete of the year. Let me repeat that again. He's the only player in 71 years, and I named some pretty good players. I mean, Jim Brown, for one. I mean, everybody knows who Jim. But this guy, Jelani Jenkins, comes through, and he's the only one that's recognized for being a defensive player of the year and a scholar athlete. So let me, you know, do the quick introduction that he's from the DMV. I always, you know, and for those who don't know, that's D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. So he's from that area. And everybody talks about Our Lady of Good Counsel High School because of the extraordinary athletes that come through there. And, you know, he was a Parade All-American or Parade Magazine All-American. I want to make sure that people don't think who are not football fans that this is a parade. We're talking Parade Magazine, which is one of the most elite magazines that recognize top athletes in the country. But he was, you know, Parade All-American, and he was selected to play in the Under Armour game. I mean, you've got to be one of the best in the country to be a part of that Under Armour game. I mean, this is one of my homeboys, Pearsall. You know I talk about Georgia. But when it comes to that DMV, man, it's a whole nother story. And Jelani had, like, I want everybody to know, he had over 40 offers to D1 school. So you wanna know what kind of play it was? But this is going to be interesting, and I'm going to let him answer that question about those 40 offers and then ultimately deciding to go to the University of Florida. And, man, you talking about a crazy place over football. Now, he goes down there to Florida. We know that's the SEC. That's the factory of football players in the past 15 years. I mean, nothing but a factory there. He goes down there. He's an outstanding football player. But not only is he an outstanding football player, he's an outstanding student. And Jelani in 2013 was a fourth-round draft pick of the Miami Dolphins, and he quickly went in there and established himself. So with enough said, you know, hey, the proof is in the pudding. We're going to hear directly from him himself. I want to recognize and introduce and thank him for coming here Jelani Jenkins. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me. Thanks for the introduction. That was amazing.
Look, I know what Pearsall going to do. So I got to get in there real quick.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. But you a homeboy. You homebred. You in that DMV. And I mentioned your name to someone out of Baltimore. And shucks, they knew your resume so clear and crisp. I said, man, you know who Jelani Jenkins is? He said, man, who don't know Jelani Jenkins around here? So what I want to know, Jelani, you come out of high school with a 3.9 GPA. You are the top linebacker in the country, bar none. So this thing with school, I ask everybody the question, when did the light bulb come on in your head that this stuff called academics is just as important as the athletics?
Yeah, I think for me, I grew up in a family where academics was way more important than athletics. I mean, they pushed me athletically, but you know, it was always number one to make sure you come back home with the good grades. And so that was always a big factor for me. I would say it really hit home when I was getting all those offers and having collegiate coaches coming to visit me. I'd have like the Urban Meyers from the University of Florida. Larry Johnson from Penn State came and talked. And then I think it really hit home when Stanford came and visited and they were looking at me very seriously, not just for football, but for what can be done academically. That's when I was like, okay, I think I'm doing something right here.
Holy cow. I mean, when you started playing football, I mean, I noticed, you know, that you played in the Maryland Little League over in Wheaton, and then you ended up playing in Montgomery County. Yeah. I mean, were you taking it as that, I'm going to be a football player one day, a professional football player, or you just playing and having fun?
No, that was always the dream to make it big. It was always the dream. And I'm grateful that my parents put Hall of Fame NFL football players in my space at all times, meaning like pictures on the wall, watching old highlight films. It was always the standard for me to look up to of who I wanted to be and where I wanted to be at the end of the day. So I'm grateful I had parents that really like pushed me to dream. But yeah, definitely was fun, but it wasn't just for fun. It was also, you know, very calculated.
So you get to high school. You get to high school. Your high school is known for football. So you get there. I mean, did the light come on that you was going to be a five-star player? You going to put in the work, or you was just going to casually come to practice and you was just a gifted player? You just going to hang out and just do what you want to do?
Nah, we had Bob Malloy is the coach. He's the winningest coach in Maryland. So he doesn't, you know, when you go into a culture like that, you quickly adhere to what's already been done and what already is a winning culture. We had a really great workout. We had strength and conditioning coach who really got us like prepared. I remember when I went to college, I was ahead of a lot of the freshmen in my group in terms of the high school preparation physically. So we had the resources around us to be great. And it was always a respect for the older players ahead of me. Sure. But ultimately to, you know, go out there and do what I need to do. And we had the great coaches in order to, you know, put me in the right position to make that happen.
So, you know, you spoke of your parents. I mean, it's a known fact that you love your parents and your parents love you. I mean, they 101% behind you. I mean, it's, you know, you love to see that type of relationship. Sadly, everyone doesn't grow up with their parents, but thank God you had yours and you took advantage of having two good parents. So you got all these recruits coming after you your senior year. Tell us about the story, man. Were y'all just sitting around the dinner table putting college names in a bowl and just close your eyes and pick one out? Or what was the process?
It was very intentional from the very beginning. One thing that was super cool was that was my junior year in high school. That was kind of when social media was just sort of picking up in the way it is now. And I remember getting a lot of attention, not just from coaches, but fans, like on Facebook, just reaching out, come here, come here, come here, come here, Michigan, West Virginia, like just all of that. I was very grateful because my parents were kind of that buffer with the phone calls. We would get phone calls 2 to 3 a day from different coaches around the country. And they would have to go through my parents first. My parents knew, I think they used to tell them, like, you have this hour time, but other than that, like, he's working. So I would get that buffer to kind of, they knew they had to go through my parents. And so that really helped mitigate the process. And I think ultimately, what was the second part of your question? I want to make sure I get it.
How did you all come to the conclusion of going to Florida opposed to going to Stanford or somewhere else?
For sure. And that was the second part. My father put together this matrix. And really what all it was just a piece of paper that we put together, had the categories of what were most important to me. So one of the most important things was what's going to give me the best opportunity to make it to the NFL. We put that down, graduation percentages, the proximity to Chipotle was a big one for me. how many people are getting in trouble. There were categories that were important to me. And we would take the top 25 schools and just kind of rank it from 1 to 10 of where they rank on those different categories. The top 5 on all those categories we highlighted. And that's really what made Florida originally stand out to me, because it wasn't originally a number one thing. I was close to Penn State. I was looking at like West Virginia, different things like that. But when that matrix made that stand out to me, that's when I started pursuing more heavily the schools that really were well-rounded and everything that I needed. And when I went to University of Florida in person, I went to a bunch of schools to visit in person, but University of Florida was just, it just had that grit to it.
Well, hey, I can hear the music coming in. I apologize. Just got a quick break. I just want everybody to know you're here at the Rockin' Awards Show with DJ Jay Everett Kissoff and our very special guest from the DMV. I'm gonna repeat that enough from the DMV, Jelani Kissoff. We'll be right back. Because if you want to find out where you got it, tell me what you need. Unchanged, unfazed, and unwilling. It's a new day, new world. We all winning. I'm up late, up early. I gotta get it. Keep working. Now we gotta make it. We're here at the Watch. Go get it. You got it. I see you.
All you gotta do is put your mind to it. Exotic Car Sharing by Curvy Road is a full-service car sharing company that has been in business for over 21 years. Based out of Palatine, Illinois, our company allows its members the ability to own fractional ownership of exotic cars at a fraction of the costs. Our share plans include reservations for weekend or weekly ride sharing. Our members get to choose from a Bentley one weekend to the McLaren 570S the next. No long paperwork, expensive maintenance, or expensive insurance requirements. Exotic Car Sharing has the fleet and capabilities to service all of our clients with quality luxury vehicles delivered at your doorstep. Register on our website at exoticcarsharing.com or call us at 888-264-3327.
Oh, yeah. We're back. The Watkins Award Show. I'm T. Tate, and of course, I got my sidekick as always, J. Everett Pearsall. He's down there in the the basement as always. He, you know, got stuff sitting around. And then, of course, he want to kind of tease me because of our special guest, Jelani Jenkins from the DMV. I see that jersey in the background. I see that jersey in the background, Pearsall. If nobody else sees it, I see what's going on back there. Okay. All right. I know what to ask Jelani for when I see him. You know, I got to get the jersey so he can sign it. But to say the least, you leave the DMV, and trust me, I've been on that campus several times when you were there, but even prior to you getting there. The University of Florida, that's one heck of a campus down there. There's a lot of distractions down there. Football is king at the University of Florida. How do you leave good counsel with, you know, a mindset that you are, you have achieved academic excellence. You are a five-star football player. How do you maintain that kind of focus at a school like that with all the distractions that's going on down there at the University of Florida?
Yeah, we definitely had distractions and whatnot. And I think I've witnessed a lot of players fall victim to those distractions. I think the difference is just, again, I go back to my foundation, you know, with my, the way I was raised and the way I was, what I was taught to understand was most important. You know, I had my fun at the University of Florida, don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, there was very much so a mission in place, and anything that took me out of the alignment with that mission wasn't a priority for me. And so thankfully, Urban Meyer, I think he did a really good job of placing, like understanding who the players were in terms of setting up the roommates situation. The three individuals who I were with, they all were kind of raised in a family that instilled some of these really great values. And so we all were able to thrive in that environment because we were, you know, like-minded. I've seen other individuals who were put in places that were similar to where they came from, and were surrounded by people that were similar to where they came from, and those environments weren't conducive to the success in college outside of football. And so they ended up getting in trouble and different things like that. So I think it's a combination of just the foundation, the values that I had been raised under, and a good job by the coaching staff to really facilitate brotherhoods that were conducive for me.
Well, you know, I'm a stop here, and I'm going to just say I can appreciate all of the accolades that you give your parents. And, you know, I've had a chance to meet them, and I know who the one that you're scared of is Mama. Mama she don't take no play. So it's critical that those parents who are out there understand they got to hold their young men accountable. And it was obvious that both your mom and dad was holding you accountable. So when you flew the coop and you went down to a place like the University of Florida, I mean, that campus, it is absolutely unbelievable down there with the social atmosphere. I mean, you talk about the social networks, that's a social network within itself, man. It's just unbelievable down there at the University of Florida. But I'm thankful that you went in there. You were focused. And certainly one of the things I just want my listeners to know was that not only were you an awesome, awesome athlete, SEC, you know, just the type of player that the SEC recognized that you was a beast, but you was an incredible student, and your grades reflected it. And it was known that you was on the honor roll, you know, frequently. You was always on the honor roll. So thank you for being who you were and staying focused, Mr. Pearsall. I let you crack the whip, man. It's on you, you know, Mr. Pearsall.
Jelani Jenkins, a.k.a. Lonnie, a.k.a. JJ, a.k.a. the Maryland Gator, a.k.a. Mr. Versatility, a.k.a. Mr. Knock You Out or Cover You Up, Mr. Monster in the Middle, Mr. All-Time, All-Around Great, Watkins Man of the Year, Mr. The Thicker. Jelani Jenkins, welcome to the show, my brother.
My man, I appreciate the energy, first off. I appreciate it.
Hey, man, I remember when I first came down to see you, it was my first time going to a Good Counsel football game. And I went there because, obviously, you were on the list of one of the top athletes in the country. But, you know, one of my guys and one of my compadres locally here, Brian Chisholm, lived in your neighborhood. And he had known about you. He said, you got to come see this kid. And so when I got there, I got a chance to meet, you know, when I hear Tyrone talk about, you know, the two parents, but I met that three-legged table, which was your foundation, and Stephanie, Ernest, and Maurice, and how they embraced the responsibility of doing everything that it took to make sure that you had that strong foundation moving forward. And then when I saw the game, I couldn't tell whether they were recruiting you to be a running back or a linebacker, because I'm watching you just run over everybody and then tackle on the other side. I'm like, well, what he's going to do in college, he's a phenomenal running back. Yeah. But when I met your parents and your mom said, you know, I didn't know much about this when Brian brought it to me, but now knowing how your mom does things in terms of researching and figuring stuff out, she said, I went and did my research and you're here because I'm excited about the Watkins Award. And it was really something that meant a lot to me because now knowing who she is, I know she did that research.
For sure.
Growing up in Silver Spring, and everyone has their own environment and their own challenges. My kids growing up in the suburb had different challenges than I had when I grew up in the inner city of Baltimore. But what were some of the things that were obstacle to you coming out as a five-star, getting a 3.9 grade point average, going to a powerhouse high school and being recruited all over? What were some of the obstacles that you had to overcome and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I don't think it was anything too much bigger than a lot of, you know, high school challenges. There were girls, you know, that was always distracting for me, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that was always distracting. But I think ultimately the biggest obstacles were ones that I placed in front of myself and just not being where I'm supposed to be, which was rare at that time. You know, I was under my parents' guidance at that time. But ultimately, I think some of the biggest obstacles were probably more mental than anything. It was confidence. It was, you know, just trusting my ability, trusting my dream, and, you know, just continuing to push myself forward when all of the media is around me and you know, you have the opportunity to get big-headed about different things and get unfocused, and there's distractions. Like I said, I had people reaching out to me from all over the country, from different schools. And I would say just making sure that the distractions weren't taking me off course. That was the biggest thing for me at that time.
Now, again, there were a lot of things that you did along the way and obviously having an opportunity to come down to Gainesville, but you were our second guy that actually played for the Florida Gators. But the first time I actually went to their stadium, you know, getting down there, spending time with you and knowing that you were down there to flourish and become a person from Maryland that was going to make their mark. And they're going to know that you were there. You're going to establish a legacy. But leaving for the NFL because the NFL was calling, even after the fact, you made sure that you took your classes to go back and graduate. Those are always proud moments for me. And as much as for the Watkins Award, that's in all the guys since 1992, and we know the bad calls. You know, 98.5% graduation rate, and the others are continuing to work to make sure that they get their degree. What mindset do you have? The NFL is calling, you're getting paid, but I got to make sure I get this degree. You know, how do you deal with that, and what pushed you to be able to accomplish that?
Yeah, like I said, it goes back to the fundamentals of how I was raised and what was important. I think I made a promise to myself and to my family that I would graduate. And when I made the decision to leave a little bit early, it was always with the idea that I would come back and graduate. I had never really experienced any off season mentally from sports and education. I went from college where I was doing both at the same time. Then I went and right to the NFL and was solely focused on sports. Then in the off season, I was focused on school. So I was already in the rhythm of focusing on something, you know what I mean? So
right.
I kind of just stayed with that flow and didn't take one off season off, because that would be terrible. I know a couple of my roommate, he planned on coming back to school, but he took the first season off, and he never did. He never came back. So it was a part of it was keeping in that momentum. And, you know, I've always been challenged as well to have a reason behind sports and football. And, you know, there was always a why behind it. And so I knew that in order to really be successful in the next phase, I had to get that done. And I had to make true to my promise to myself, to my family, and to my identity, you know, my values of who I believe I am. And that's somebody who definitely is more student than athlete.
Excellent. Excellent. So impressive and such a great example for the listening audience that find themselves in similar position and might have to encourage someone to make that same decision.
Yeah.
When you think about the time of when I met you and you came to the Watkins Award and was able to be honored by the organization and get a chance to meet other Watkins guys. I remember you roomed with Devere Posey during the Watkins and some other times where you had got a chance to kick it with him. Even up until now and moving forward, what has the Watkins Award meant to you?
Oh, the Watkins is so much more powerful. And I realize it more now than ever how powerful it is when I see just the alumni section. I mean, just the amount of love and intention that's put behind this group when we're so young. I was just talking to my mother about this. Maybe it might have been my father, but you all really, really, really took care of us. You know, y'all, when we were brought into the Watkins space, it immediately felt like family. There was so much love and so much intention put behind us. We were being praised for not just what we were doing on the field, but what we were doing in the community, what we were doing in school. And that was huge. And it left a lasting impression on everybody who you all have come in contact with and to the group. And so it makes so much sense that there's so much alumni that continues to pour back into the Watkins, because it truly is a magical experience. And it's so needed. It's so needed, especially during these times. You know, there are a lot of senior athletes who didn't get to play last year, you know?
Absolutely.
And the tenets that the pillars of the Watkins speaks to why is that important to not just focus on sports, but to have it be well-rounded and be examples to the community. I think that's the last thing I think is super important is, like, we were always pushed to be examples and to use our platform to have impact. And everything that I'm doing now, I mean, a lot of it relates to what I learned just being in the Watkins space, not just the foundation from my family, but the foundation from the Watkins is always, how can you give back? How can you impact? So yeah, that's what the Watkins means to me.
Thank you so much for those kind words. It really means a lot to hear that. And really, as we continue to make sure that the Watkins continue to make that type of an impact.
Yeah.
Having you at speak at the retreat and dialoguing with you about some of the things that you're doing now post NFL, I want to give you a little bit more extra time than I typically give some of the folks that come on. But for the next maybe 3 or 4 minutes, I would like our listening audience to hear more about what you're into right now. We know you did football camps. We know you gave back to the community. We know you did some business endeavors, and you could talk about those as well. But I really want an emphasis to be on mind, body, and soul, if you will. Can you tell us about what you're doing now, Jelani?
Yeah, absolutely. So about a year and a half after I transitioned out of the NFL, I decided to pursue coaching independently as a mindset coach. I spoke about my father a bunch in this talk already, but my father, I would say, was my first, like, unofficial mindset coach in terms of teaching me the power of the mind at a very early age, teaching me affirmations, having me watch like Muhammad Ali videos all over again, and how he was, I'm the greatest of all time, like really speaking life into himself and believing it and going out there and proving it, and not just proving it, but doing it for, you know, the people that needed it the most, being a, you know, a people's champ, as he would call himself. And so I transitioned into coaching, and it was really a result of me wanting to help athletes who were in a situation that I was in, after I stopped playing the game, where I did slip into a form of depression with understanding my identity outside of sports. And as much support and love as I had growing up and understanding, I even fell into something like that. And I know a lot of my teammates and a lot of people that I know fell into challenges when they stopped playing the game. So ultimately, what I'm doing now is I'm helping athletes find passion, find purpose, find fulfillment beyond the game, and to ultimately get to a point where they feel like every day is game day, even well beyond the sport, because they have something purposeful that they're looking forward towards. And I'm doing that through a coaching platform that's actually called Postseason. We rebranded it. It was Mind Body Sports at one point, but now it's Postseason. Okay. And it's really just a coaching platform and a private community for athletes. And like I said, it's designed to really help them find their purpose, find their fulfillment. We have a coaching program that is 13 plus hours of presentations and footage, has exercises, worksheets. They get one-on-one coaching, they get group coaching, and they are in a community with a bunch of resources and mentorship opportunities. And then, like I said, they're in a community with other athletes. So really, the whole purpose of it, the whole design of it is designed for them to, any athlete who comes and joins us, they're joining a new team. They're joining a championship team for the game of life. And the coaching program is really the playbook that we are all using as we continue to move forward and push forward. And so really the three tenets of this program is, it starts with self-discovery. You know, who am I? What do I want? Who must I become to get to that point? And, you know, they just get super clear on kind of what are the limitations mentally that are unconsciously holding them back from being their greatest version of themselves when it comes to identity, limiting beliefs, different things like that. Then we move on to self-mastery. They learn how to get rid of those limiting beliefs and really train their mind with the affirmations, with the visualization, different techniques to really become that greatest version. And then the third section is impact, where they learn how to use all of that and go out into the world and serve individuals who they are essentially most passionate about serving, finding solutions for the problems they're most passionate about. And so we kind of take them through this process of how do you, you know, repurpose your inner athlete? How do you find your zone of genius? How do you manage your life post sports when you grew up in sports and was managed, micromanaged every single second? How do you now manage your life to where you are hitting your goals and finding fulfillment and being efficient and all those different things? So it's a powerful program, and I'm excited about it. We launched the new platform in a couple of weeks. And yeah, it's going to be a good time.
I'm so proud of you, man. That is excellent. You don't know how many people need that. I mean, I can, and it's not always about the NFL. It's always a transition. It's people trying to go from college to the NFL and then NFL to the afterlife. And so they need that life coaching. Last thing I'll ask you before I turn you back over to Coach Tate is that if you had one thing that you could say, you know, for some kids out there who might be listening or parents to tell their kids, to give them inspiration, one sentence, one line, two sentences, what would you leave for them as a parting thought?
Get super clear on where it is that they want to be. Visualize it. See it very clearly where they want to be and hold on to that vision. Believe.
Excellent, man. Excellent. I mean, that is really powerful. Thanks a lot, man. You know, it's a joy. My heart, man, is just so, so warm. And I appreciate you coming on. You know how I feel about you. I love you, man. I'll turn you back over to Coach Tate.
Love you. Appreciate you.
I'm floored. I'm floored about, you know, the conversation that the two of you were having. Jelani, what I want to do, I want to not only congratulate you, but I also want to say that I'm proud of you, because as a Black man, you talked about the word identity. And I talked about that jersey in the background of Mr. Pearsall. But yet you have a banner that Black Lives Matter. And that speaks a lot about your character as a human being, that you easily could have walked away. I mean, you grew up in a dual parent household that were able to, you know, provide you with the things that a lot of kids don't get a chance to get. But yet they put in your head who you were as a young man, and you went down to the University of Florida, didn't lose your identity. You go into the NFL, you didn't lose your identity. And the words that you are speaking, you're a very well-spoken young man that clearly has a vision about what you want to do to help the next young kid to come up in this world. So I just want to thank you and acknowledge the fact that you can't imagine how many men forget the true meaning of those words, Black Lives Matter. And most adults think that when you are supporting Black Lives Matter and you are African-American, you are racist. And how can we be racist when we don't have economic power to pull that off? But, you know, clearly you got something, and I'm prayful that we'll be able to help you to move your agenda forward so you can help, because Pearsall said something very eloquently about people who are having problems making that transition from college to the NFL and out of the NFL, and many of them having the problem of making a transition just out of college because of the fact that football requires a different mindset. It's a different mindset as a football player, so the transition is not as easy as we think it is. So know that this is also a recorded program that's also a podcast, so people be going back and listening to your words. But Jelani, I want to just know, man, you know, moving forward, how can, you know, people get in touch with you? How can they watch what's going on in your life? What's your social network connection? Where can we find out what's going on?
Yeah, the easiest way you can find me is on Instagram at Mighty King Jenkins. That's MIGHTYKING Jenkins. And I also am relaunching my YouTube page, but this time I'm speaking directly to athletes. And it's you can find me at youtube.com/JelaniJenkins44 and subscribe to that and check out the videos. And yeah, that those are the two best places. Okay. And you'll hear a lot more about what's going on with postseason and what we have with Mind Body Sports and all those great things as well.
Well, just make sure you keep us posted so we can keep the general public posted as well, because we need premium resources like you. It's no doubt that the sky is the limit with you. And this has certainly been one heck of a conversation. You know, just listening to you talk about your transition from high school to college to the NFL, now back into the real world and accepting. A lot of people don't do this, but accepting that the transition, even for you, was a little difficult. And you had to dig deep down inside. And we, you know, certainly love for you to come back. It's a lot of things that we're going to be doing with you, because we recognize that you are a true resource. And make sure you tell moms and pop that I say hello. I know Mr. Pearsall is saying hello. And boy, you know, that jersey back there, that jersey getting on me, Mr. Pearsall.
You know I had to represent. That's a special item, man. You know I had to represent. And the helmet. You keep leaving a helmet out. The helmet and a jersey, brother.
Okay. Well, one thing I didn't leave out is them daggone cowboy paraphernalia back there, you know. But because of Jelani's jersey, it makes it look better back there. I don't have no attention to them daggone stars over there.
Don't worry about my stars. They might blind you like diamonds. Don't worry about my stars, man.
Oh, man. Well, we certainly do appreciate it. And I know it's about time for this show to start ending up. This, you know, Jelani, what is it that you certainly see now as an adult that you didn't see as a young man coming through high school? And even in the NFL, you were still a young man. But what is it now that's different about the real world that you didn't expect or that you did expect?
I think it took me a long time when I went into the real world to understand the importance of my training as an athlete. I couldn't see initially how being an athlete had value in the real world without sports. And it took me having to go through my own self-discovery to be able to find gratitude for even the tough moments that I had playing sports, you know, the challenges towards the end of my career with injuries and politics and all the things with taking a knee. Like, I had to really learn how to alchemize what I was feeling and find gratitude in those moments. And until I did that, I wasn't really able to, like, extract the gold from my time playing sports. So I think one of the biggest things was realizing that a lot of the general population are lacking some of those intangible skill sets that make you great as an athlete. And once I started tapping into that, I started seeing myself move at a different speed.
So, Jelani, we got 1 minute left, I see. what's the one thing that you're going to tell little Jelani, your son? Is he going to play football? What are you going to impart on him?
I'm gonna teach him a dream and to follow his heart, to follow his intuition. I'm not gonna push him to any particular sport. I'm gonna be a great example for him.
I just want you all to know you're here with the Watkins Award. Our special guest was Jelani Jenkins. And man, this was mind blowing. So go to any podcast platform. You can hear this show again. You can see it again. I'm Pete Tate. My right hand, J. Everett Pearsall. Baby, we are out of here. We appreciate you.
See you next Monday.
Last Monday. Jelani, thank you for coming, baby.
Thanks for having me.
You gotta do is put your mind to it. Wake up, I'm on to the next. New day, I gotta do my best. Every day I put the work in, the grind never stop. You ain't never see me rest. See me on top, I never fall. I speak my truth and turn it to law. Do it for the drive, you know it's really my passion. Never gonna stop me, really I'll make it happen. I gotta get up and grab it. The money want me to have it. What more could I say? I'm top billing. I grew from the dirt, guess I had to make a million. I grew up, I swear I rose from the valley. Every day I put the work in, I gotta keep a tally on beat. Pockets stay heavy, when you see me don't leak. Falling days in the streets, had homies in the struggle.